I would argue against rental caps, and I would also argue against imposing things like you must allow animals in your property. Trump has just won the election on November the 5th. My personal opinion is this fantastic. I freaking love Trump. Leading up to the election, Trump was the first presidential candidate to ever attend a Bitcoin conference. 1971, the US dollar was pegged to the gold standard. So the gold was the reserve of the currency. Now they want to make Bitcoin within the Treasury Reserve. So that is massive. And I'm going to tell you how massive it could be in a second. He wants to make the USA the Bitcoin mining industry capital of the world. And that as well could be huge for the USA. So on that particular day, prior to the election, he announced a number of things. I'm going to share those with you, and we'll see how it's transpiring. The first thing was that I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Crypto Collective. After making millions with Amazon and e-commerce, I realized that if I was starting again today, crypto would be my first choice. I'm here to help you take your first steps and build real wealth. Ready to set yourself up for life? Let's go. Hey guys, welcome to this episode where we're going to talk about Bitcoin and crypto and the impact within politics. Now, some people say, oh, I don't want to talk about politics. I freaking love talking about politics, but it's also so important to everybody because you are part of this world. Politics matters to everybody, and that's why you should pay attention. Now, just as some transparency, I've been involved personally in politics for over a decade now. And as a actual federal candidate running in federal elections in Australia, I've been involved in the highest levels of political parties within the state, sitting on governing bodies. So that's my experience. And I also know a lot of senators and other MPs within state and federal politics. And I also, to add another one in, I'm also the guy now that goes out and stands there handing out how to vote cards. I put my money where my mouth is. So that's my experience and that's where I'm coming from. But I want to share with you not so much my particular politics, but how politics has an influence on markets broadly. Now, let's talk about something really simple. Laws and regulations have impacts on different asset classes in Australia. Now, here's a good example. When a state government, for example, brings in laws to do with restrictions on Airbnb, like perhaps what some did in Victoria, that has an impact on the property market. Now, in Victoria, those extra taxes and regulations, which is an impost on landlords and investors, means that they're going to look for other ways to make money. So you would have seen now there's people now selling up properties within Victoria because they can't or don't want to comply with the laws that are now being imposed in Victoria. And they're moving their capital elsewhere. So there's a flight out of Victoria to put capital in other, either property in New South Wales or Queensland, or just in other asset classes. Right now in New South Wales, and I live in New South Wales, there are new laws to do with rental properties. So not like private rental properties, not commercial. And the government has now put in restrictions on how much you can increase rents by. So putting in sort of, I guess, rental increase caps. And also just simple things like if you as a landlord, you own the property, but you don't want the tenant to have a pet, for example, which traditionally has been something that landlords had the right to impose or not, depending on what they wanted to do. The landlord now does not have a right to decide. The tenant can now choose to have a pet regardless of whether the landlord wants the pet or not in their own property, right? So what's happening is the government is imposing what I say arbitrary restrictions on landlords as to what they can and can't do with their property. I would argue against rental caps, and I would also argue against imposing things like you can't have animals or you must allow animals in your property, right? And the reason why is I think it should be left up to the free market. It's not the landlord's fault or the property investor's fault that the government hasn't put in the right regulation and framework to allow more property to be built in the market. And from a federal level, right now, the federal government is importing millions and millions of people into Australia. Now, what is that going to do? That's going to mean they're going to be housed somewhere, but ultimately it'll push prices up and people out of rental properties, right? And particularly onto the streets because they now can't afford the rents. So if you have less supply, the price is going to go up for that supply and the value of those properties is also therefore going to increase. So to solve that problem, in my opinion, you would need to fix the housing sector by removing red tape, green tape, and black tape from councils and state governments so you can build more houses, which is increasing the supply of properties. And then you'll find that the market will dictate what the values of rent should be and who can and can't be in your own property. So that is just a quick look at how regulations and laws can affect a particular asset class, in this case, property. Okay, so how does now regulation and laws relate to another asset class, which we now love, which is Bitcoin and crypto? And that is things like taxes. Right now in the UAE, they have removed taxes on crypto. Now, why would they do that? They want to bring better human capital and financial capital into their country to help boost their country. By lowering taxes, you incentivize people to move there. Now, that's why if you look at any statistics, there's something like 10 million millionaires have moved out of the UK and have moved into the UAE in recent months and years. And that is insane. And when we live in this globalized world, what we're now finding is countries are now changing their tax system to incentivize people to move there. Places like Cyprus, places like Malta, Panama, El Salvador, Dubai, the UAE, for example, they've got such great tax incentives for people to move there. Countries around the world are making their country more incentivized for people to move to by lowering taxes and having a better standard of living. Because there's one thing that we hate in Australia, and that is paying taxes, especially when the money gets pissed up the wall like it does now. Hey, just quickly, if you're ready to dive deeper into crypto and Bitcoin and build real wealth, join my free crypto collective community. It's where I share exclusive insights and strategies and live discussions to help you succeed, whether you're a beginner or scaling your portfolio. Click on the link in the description and join us today. Now back to the episode. Politics, and in particular the US politics, and how it relates to crypto and Bitcoin as of right now in November of 2024. And to give some context, Trump has just won the election on November the 5th. And my personal opinion is this fantastic. I freaking love Trump. And I think what's interesting now is more people have come out in favor of Trump than any time before. It's almost like it's now politically okay or in society to say that you support Trump. I've been saying it for years anyway. I don't really give a shit what people think. If they don't like it, then too bad. I'm now giving you permission that if you're a Trump supporter, you can now come out and say that you support the guy. But what was fascinating though is leading up to the election, Trump was the first presidential candidate to ever attend a Bitcoin conference. And from memory, I think it was in Las Vegas, certainly in USA. And he was able to garner the support of the crypto community. Okay. And he was then, as you know, working with the guys like Elon Musk, who was very much into the crypto space, and Vivek Ramaswamy, and a bunch of other guys who are big in the crypto space. And they were able to get to him and advise him of what is going to be in the USA's best interest policy-wise moving forward. So on that particular day, prior to the election, he announced a number of things. I'm going to share those with you, and then we'll see how it's transpiring. The first thing was that he announced that he wants to put in a Bitcoin strategic reserve, okay? What does that mean? It's like having traditionally before 1971, the US dollar was pegged to the gold standard. So the gold was the reserve of the currency. Now they want to make Bitcoin the reserve within the Treasury reserve. So that is massive. And I'm going to tell you how massive it could be in a second. And the other thing was he wants to look at, and these that haven't come in yet, but consider no tax on crypto at all. Now that means no tax on capital gains. So once you sell your crypto, if you've seen a gain, generally you have to pay tax on that gain, just much like you do with a property. If you buy a property for 500, you sell it for 600, you pay tax on the 100. And depending on, just as a side note here, in Australia, if you hold your crypto for over 12 months, you therefore get a capital gains discount. So that is something to consider. Yeah, so no tax on crypto, which I pray comes into Australia as well. And the other thing is he wants to make the USA the Bitcoin mining industry capital of the world. And that as well could be huge for the USA. So fast forward, we're now talking, that's the date today, in late November, there is now talk about the strategic reserve coming into play. But this won't be implemented, though, until after his inauguration in January, right? When he starts writing out all the executive orders that he wants to do day one, like his first 100 days, for example. So this is going to be absolutely massive for Bitcoin. What are the numbers of this? I've heard numbers that if the strategic reserve comes to play, Bitcoin could jump up as far as anywhere between $500,000 to $1 million. It's that big. They already want to buy, for the strategic reserves, like how much Bitcoin, they want to buy 200,000 Bitcoin over the first, each year for the first 5 years. So ultimately get to 1 million Bitcoin. Now keep in mind, there's only 21 million Bitcoin that will ever be mined in itself. And some say that somewhere between 4 and 5 million Bitcoin are actually lost. So that reduces the supply even further. Not now counting all the institutional adoption, right? Think about this though. When countries and places like BlackRock, etc., continue to buy up Bitcoin, there's really no incentive for them to sell. So people often worry about people selling the Bitcoin, the market crashes. If they were to sell Bitcoin, then the other Bitcoin that they hold would also crash in value. So it would be no incentive to even sell. So that's why it's so, so scarce, because I don't see any nation state, any government, any financial institution, and probably much like companies like MicroStrategy who hold hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin, they're probably not going to sell. So therefore it would only be retail investors that may sell at a price. Retail investors, meaning people like you and me. So guys, Trump's impact on the crypto industry is going to be absolutely massive. But just keep this in mind, Trump and USA are not going to be the first people to have adopted a Bitcoin strategy. In fact, places like El Salvador under President Bukele, he has already got somewhere in the vicinity of about $5 billion worth of Bitcoin. And they've been buying up Bitcoin for a number of years. They even have Bitcoin as part of their, as a currency within El Salvador. They buy one Bitcoin a day. They also use volcano energy to mine Bitcoin. So this country is taking over the world as far as monetary policy with Bitcoin. They're pioneering the industry. There's other countries as well that are also stacking Bitcoin. Think about this, just because America might become the powerhouse of Bitcoin with all of the Trump policies, USA still doesn't own Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is decentralized, meaning no country, no person, no agency can ever own Bitcoin. So therefore, owning Bitcoin puts the power in your hands, right? You won't have a case like what happened in Canada during the last COVID lockdowns, where truckers were protesting against the lockdowns. And what the Canadian government did is they went in and they froze bank accounts. Now, if they held Bitcoin, Canada can't come in and freeze your Bitcoin, because they don't control the Bitcoin like they do with the banking system within their country, right? So that's why a lot of people say that Bitcoin is also freedom money. Okay. The power is with you. No nation state can stop Bitcoin. So now that we've spoken about Trump and his administration and the proposals that he's bringing in to the crypto space, what is happening in Australia and how does that affect the world? Well, I can tell you right now that there's countries already that are now on a race to buy as much Bitcoin as they possibly can before America jumps on the bandwagon. And the reason why is because once America starts buying up Bitcoin, or even announces that they've actually implemented now the Bitcoin reserve, strategy reserve, the price is going to go through the roof. And so these other countries would rather just pay less for the Bitcoin than perhaps it goes to $500,000 and they're going to have to pay more. They want to, I guess, beat America to the punch. So that's what's happening there. I've spoken to people within Australia. I think Australia is asleep at the wheel from a government perspective. I don't hear any talk in Australia about Australia creating a Bitcoin reserve. I think they need to wake up real quick. But I guarantee once this happens in America, the countries that haven't woken up yet are going to sort of raise their head and think, oh my God, we missed it. How did this happen? We're now going to have to pay more for Bitcoin, but they'll still buy it anyway, because Bitcoin will always go up. There is already regulation framework within Australia to own Bitcoin. and crypto? Because if you're very new to this, you might be thinking it's still some like Wild West asset that you shouldn't touch. But the Australian Tax Office has already outlined, already has regulation and laws for how it treats Bitcoin and crypto. As an example, obviously with capital gains tax, I mentioned before, perhaps it's an income. So if you're a trader, for example, you're trading Bitcoin day to day or all cryptocurrencies, that will actually come down to income. So you can have it taxed as income as opposed to paying capital gain tax on those increases. So there is already regulation and framework in place for you as an investor in Australia. But I just think from a Australian government and even state government level, they haven't cottoned onto the Bitcoin reserve. But I certainly hope that if Trump brings in no taxes on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, I hope Australia follows too. All right, guys, that's it for this episode. Hope you've learned a little bit about the impacts of government regulation and laws within the crypto industry and how it may or may not affect you. Exciting times ahead. Take care. Thanks for tuning in to Crypto Collective. If you've enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more of me at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms.